All right, time to bring in Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland. And it's our Thursday chat. I think Chris Brame said it the other day. Congratulations to Cole Wilcox and Emerson Hancock for their back-to-back no-hitters of the Gators this past weekend and winning the series. Well, no, I guess not. They were co-pitchers of the week. This is just awful. I'm making jokes just because I'm hurting. But, Coach, thanks for joining us. This is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you since everything went down. How are you doing right now?
Well, doing okay. I mean, it's just kind of tough. You wake up every morning. I think just about everybody does it. You wake up and you kind of think to yourself, wow, this is really happening again. And it's tough, but you've got to find a way to get through it and keep yourself busy. And so that's all you can really do. And, you know, a lot of our guys have some online classes. Those are still going on. And then when school starts back up here on the 30th, then they'll have their classes to take virtually. So they're going to stay busy. And that's the biggest thing I've asked them to do is to make sure that they're smart and they're safe, but they're also staying busy.
Now, 1 week ago, wake up in Statesboro. Take us through what you guys did that day, because I know when you and I did the postgame show the night before, we had gotten the word that the Florida series is going to be played in front of just a few people. But how did Thursday unfold for you and the team?
Well, to go back on Wednesday night before the game started, we all got the news that the NBA had canceled their season, and that really hit me. I remember sitting in the dugout thinking, if they're doing that, then I don't see how the trickle-down effect isn't going to happen. And so that was on my mind. And when our game ended, our sports information director, Chris Lakos, gave me the news before I spoke with you that, you know, the plan was that we were still going to go to Gainesville but not play in front of fans. And, you know, that seemed very just odd just to think about doing that and to, you know, have number one against number two and arch rivals play in front of no one and, you know, just trying to get your head wrapped around that. And then we wake up on Thursday morning. I did my call-in with you at 8. At 9, we had a team breakfast. We had a brief team meeting just to kind of go over, hey, this is what it's going to look like. This is what we're planning on doing. 10 o'clock, we jumped on the bus, and at around noon, we got to Brunswick and decided just, you know, to pull off and let the kids get out and move the legs around, grab a quick bite to eat, a snack. And as we were sitting there eating, we were all kind of dispersed among about 5 or 6 restaurants. I got a call from our associate athletic director, Magdy El-Shaway, who had gotten a directive from Greg McGarity, who was the athletic director meetings in Nashville. And it was all happening real time. During those athletic director meetings, they came to the decision that they were going to postpone everything until March 30th. And Greg sent out the directive to the associate athletic directors, and then they called their prospective head coaches, the sports that they're over. So Magdy called me and said, we got to turn the bus around. We got to come back to Athens. And everything had been suspended until March the 30th. About 10 minutes later, before we could get back on the bus as a team, that news had gone out on social media. So I wasn't able to tell the players. The players found out through social media. So we had a talk on the bus as we're going back north instead of heading south. And about an hour outside of Athens is when the news hit that the championships had been canceled. You know, all postseason regionals, super regionals, Omaha, had been canceled, and that's when it really, really hit hard. It got very quiet on the bus. Everybody kind of got the news at the same time. You know, guys were playing cards. You know, you can hear some guys talking and laughing and just, you know, regular stuff that happens on the bus. You've been on the bus enough to know that, you know, that it can be loud sometimes. And, you know, it was just kind of a normal bus ride, even though with the news that we'd gotten about the suspension of the season. And about that hour outside of Athens, it just got eerily quiet. Everybody got the news and the realization that, you know, this team wasn't going to have a chance to compete for a national championship and go to Omaha. It was really, really somber. And we got back to Athens. I told the guys, let's get off the bus. Let's not talk on the bus. Let's go into our classroom. Went in there and we talked for 15 or 20 minutes. It was really tough. It was really emotional. And the hardest thing about it was just, you know, how do you end that? Because we didn't know at that time we didn't know if we were still going to come back and practice or play, or if they were going to come back to school. We didn't know. So that was probably the toughest thing about that meeting, was just the uncertainty of where we go from here.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland on what has just been a crazy week.
Coach, as far as, you know, where does the team go from here, this obviously creates a lot of roster management, just chaos. And I know, have you had much time to really think about that, or what are the next steps that you as a coach will go to kind of keep this team together for whatever's down the road?
Well, that's the biggest thing. We don't know yet. Mm. They've talked about, you know, the seniors being able to get the year back, and they've also talked about everybody getting the year back, almost like the season didn't happen. Just hit the refresh button, and freshmen are still freshmen, and sophomores are still sophomores. But when you fix one problem, you make some other problems.
Right.
And what about the freshman class that we've got coming in, and the scholarship that we've already assumed that, you know, these seniors are moving on, and these juniors are going to sign in the draft, and, you know, we're already guessing a little bit to get to our 11.7 scholarships and 27 players on scholarship and 35 players on the roster. Something's going to have to happen. We still don't know what that is yet. We had a conference call the other day among SEC coaches to talk about the direction we'd like to see it go, but there's 300 Division I baseball teams right now, and a whole lot of them, the majority of them, don't have the resources that the SEC teams have. So can other schools afford to expand scholarship levels and expand roster levels? That's going to be the question, and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping that there's certainly some scholarship relief, that there's some roster relief, but we still don't know. We've just kind of heard some hearsay and some things leak out of the NCAA that we're going to be able to get relief for our rosters, but we still don't know exactly what's going to happen. So we don't know what steps we're going to have to take yet, because we haven't gotten the directive from the NCAA.
And you're basically not allowed to, there's no instruction provided to the players. Is that right? You can stay in contact with them, but you can't do any kind of instruction. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Our facilities are on lockdown. They're not even allowed to come in and work out on Friday morning. Just to show how fast this has changed, on Friday morning, the directive in the athletic department and among the SEC was that players that were still in town could use the facilities and work out and stay in shape. And by noon that day, it had completely changed. The SEC voted unanimously that everybody's going to be on the same page. No facility usage, no workouts, no voluntary workouts. Our players were talking about having captain's practices, you know, just going out and staying busy and just working out as a team. Well, by noon on Friday, that changed, that no facility can be used. And that's everywhere in the SEC, and I think most places around the country are the same way. It's on lockdown. Their fingerprints, that's how they got in and out of the locker room. Those have been, you know, canceled. They can't get in right now. And so our facilities are empty across campus, and all of our players, the majority of our players, are at home with their families doing what we're all doing, which is watching a lot of Netflix and reading a lot of nonfiction books.
Yeah, I know. It's strange for sure. Now, you had, that's the thing. Your roster this year was full of guys that had either redshirted or were seniors anyway. So, I mean, even if they do get to come back, like you said, if there is a reset for next year, that doesn't necessarily mean your roster is going to look the same as it. I would assume there might be a few guys that are like, "Hey, I love it, Coach. I've been here 5 years. I'm ready to move on to that next chapter of my life."
Yeah, those are the conversations that we're going to have, and you know, we've stayed in contact with our guys, you know, through a lot of team texts and just kind of giving guys the heads up. This is what's going on. This is the latest. But to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot of new stuff to give to them right now, and we don't want to have those conversations exactly yet, because we don't know what's going to happen yet. We still don't know if seniors are going to get another year, if juniors are going to be able to reset and still be a junior and still keep that bargaining power in the draft. I mean, because that's a big deal. There's been talk now that Major League Baseball might not have a draft. I don't see that happening. I see it maybe moving back, but we don't know what's happening yet. But that's going to be the big conversation. You know, guys that have been here 5 years, and we've got a few of those guys. They've been here 5 years. Do you want to come back for a sixth? Do you want to go for a second degree? Do you want to go into graduate school? We've got seven guys that are graduating. Do those guys want to come back and get a second degree and play, or do they want to move on? Some of our guys already have jobs lined up. Do they want to delay that and come back and play? That's going to be the question, and I don't want to go too far down that road, because if we get to a decision with a particular player that, yes, Coach, I want to come back, I want to do this, and then it comes back that we're not going to get that relief, which could happen. We don't know. They said that's going to happen, but we haven't seen it written. We haven't seen anything for sure. So there's just a lot of uncertainty with everything we're doing, with everybody. Everyone's a little bit uncertain right now. We just kind of have to wait and see how this is all going to shake out.
And they were going to have the draft in Omaha this year to coincide with the College World Series. Yeah. So I guess that's probably out the door, too, I would assume.
Yes. No, I'm assuming that at best with the draft, it's going to get moved back a little bit. You know, how do you evaluate these players that, you know, the scouts were just going out and seeing, and the cross-checkers and the scouting directors and the general managers, a lot of them haven't been out yet because they were waiting to see who were the players to establish themselves. And then they were going to go out and watch them play in their conference. So they wanted to see Emerson Hancock pitch against Florida. They wanted to see Cole Wilcox pitch against South Carolina. So those are the things that were getting ready to really start ramping up. And then they start comparing and contrasting guys as they're pitching against the better competition. And now they don't get to do that. And it's really tough on the scouts. It's really tough on pro organizations now to make franchise decisions on players that you don't have a full book of scouting on yet.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Coach, I know there's so many unknowns that it's hard to even answer these questions, but has there been any thought about like how the SEC may handle its schedule next year? A lot of very tough road trips on Georgia's slot this year. I guess, is it safe to assume, or maybe that's out of the question, but could that possibly just stay the same going into next year? Or will it go back to the normal rotation? Has that been something you've been able to think about?
Well, that was the initial talk when we had our conference call that we're just going to reset the season and play the same schedule. And, you know, and then, of course, I was the first one that I wanted to speak of.
I was like,
has anyone seen our schedule?
No.
But that would have been a little selfish there. So we just talked about it. You know, one coach spoke up to say that, you know, this year's schedule doesn't work for next year because of the midweek games that we've already set up. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, we'll probably reset and play the same schedule just so we stay on schedule for, you know, the following years. That would be my guess. That doesn't necessarily mean it'll be in the same order. It might rotate because now you've got schools, you know, next year's final schedules are different for schools. So now all of a sudden you've got to not travel during your finals week. So, and that's how we try to do it in the SEC. So my guess is that we're going to play the same opponents at the same locations, but it might be scrambled around a little bit to look a little different.
Well, you just have to tell Emerson and Cole they have to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's they don't have a choice.
Well, and that's going to be, you know, those guys, they love Georgia. They came here for a reason. They had options 2 years ago to sign out of high school for, you know, a lot of money. And they decided they wanted to come here and experience college and develop and get better and put themselves in a better position in the draft. And in their draft year that they worked so hard towards, this happens. And it's not fair, but that's what we're dealing with. And those are all conversations that we're going to have here in the next few weeks as we learn more information. I can tell you this, they love Georgia, but they also have, you know, an opportunity to move on to play professional baseball. And those are all conversations that we're going to have with them as players, with their families, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. We want what's best for them at the end of the day. We all want to win. We all want to be great here at Georgia, but we also want to make sure our players are put in the best position possible when they leave here. And those are all conversations we got to have.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland. Speaking of next year, how much of the non-conference schedule had you guys already locked down, or how far ahead does that usually get put together, like the opening non-conference weekends. Are those already locked down, or how does that work?
Yes, we do that a little bit in advance. We've got, gosh, I've got weekend games all the way through 2023.
Oh, okay.
So next year, just off the top of my head, I know Cornell is coming in from the Ivy League to play a weekend series. We are playing Georgia Tech on a weekend as well. I believe we've got, you're testing me here. But, you know, the same thing. We're going to play Georgia Southern 3 games. We're going to play Kennesaw State 2 games in the midweek. We've got Clemson home and home. So all those games are set. And but, yeah, it's everything's just kind of on hold.
Yeah.
We've got to kind of wait and see what's going to happen. But we're all the way through 2023. And, you know, something that we've got on the schedule in 22 and 23, we are going to do home and home with UCLA. So UCLA right now is scheduled to come in 2022 to Athens, and we're scheduled to go out to Los Angeles in 2023, along with playing Georgia Tech on the weekend. So my assistant coach has already looked at me like, are you crazy? But you know what? We just said, let's do this. Let's experience a great series with a Pac-12 team. It makes it difficult when you play 30 games against SEC teams, along with Georgia Tech and Clemson. But we just made that decision. You know what? This is something that we can do every once in a while, and we decided that we're going to play UCLA in the series.
Interesting, interesting. Well, is Tech going to be at Cool Ray next year, or is that still up in the air?
We don't know. I think I had saw somewhere that at Truist Park they were going to have a monster truck rally next year during the off season. So you know that turf's going to get torn up there. So I don't know. I will say this. I do like the way that the format happened, and the Cool Ray experience was good. And I'm not saying that just because we won. I thought it was really, really fan friendly. There, you know, the tailgating in the parking lot, the stadium was much more full when you play at Truist Park and you've got 45,000 seats and there's 15,000 people there. It still feels empty. And I think they said actually we had around 9,000 people at Cool Ray, and everyone out on the berm, you know, kids running around. It felt like a baseball atmosphere, and I would be just fine with staying at Cool Ray if that's what we choose to do.
And Danny Hall, the Tech coach, I know he didn't like getting swept, but did he like the weekend also?
Yeah, I think we both agreed that that's the best thing for the series. When you've got both teams' best pitchers going head-to-head, and you're seeing each other's best. And when you play in the midweek, it's not a real kind of judge of your team. Your team is based on what you're going to do on the weekends, and I think that's the best way to judge, you know, who's the better team. So playing on the weekend, I think we both agree, is the best thing to do. You know, certainly he didn't like the way it played out for them, and that's just the way we are as competitors. But I think all in all, that the weekend series and going home and home in neutral site, I think works out really well.
Well, Scott, this wasn't the way we thought this was going to go. This is weird stuff. Always enjoy our Thursday chats. Maybe we can catch you again every few weeks if we hear some breaking news as far as stuff goes, and just get your thoughts on everything. I know I hate it for the players, though. I really do. I know this is tough for a lot of those guys.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's tough for everybody, and that's the thing that I think we're just all trying to put in perspective, that, you know, college baseball and athletics, it means so much to us because it's our life. It's what we do. It's our livelihood. It's the players, what they've done, you know, since they could walk. They've been throwing a baseball and hitting the ball. And as sports fans, it's our release. It's what we do to sit down and not have sports on TV. That's how we get away from things. And it's tough. So, you know, hopefully that there can be something positive come out of this, that we can stay busy, that we can find new things to do. And we can kick this thing and get out and do the things that we love to do sooner rather than later. But I think we've got to be smart, and that's the thing that we've just kind of tried to get across to our players. Be smart, be safe, think of others, don't be selfish. There's a whole lot of things that we can learn from this, and if we all do it, we can get through this a little bit quicker.
Well said. Thanks, Scott.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Coach. All right. Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.